episode 107 of
Brutal Battle. Yes, we are back. It is Dan Kim again. It is myself, Carlin, as per the norm. And we're doing Brutal Battle. Yeah, this little thing we call Brutal Battle Beer Podcast.
Yeah, I was thinking maybe you're in every episode of this, Carlin. Maybe it's time to start cutting you out.
It's time to make it like, what, should we bring Kyle back and it could be Dan and Kyle?
Right. Or
that would actually be an interesting episode.
It could
episode.
Be like the two people who know each other the least. Like, it would be like it'll be, it'd be like your wife and then someone, one of your beer friends who have never met your wife.
Yeah, or something. Yeah. Or I could make it like super awkward and make it Sean Creel and Mike Johnzak because they worked for competing liquor stores. And they don't know each other either. That's the other
thing. I thought you remedied that.
No, I didn't. Not yet. I wanted to. I talked about doing it because I wanted both of them to come on the show.
Oh.
Thought that would be fun.
It would just be a big pissing contest, which would be entertaining.
Yeah, well, like, that's the point. It would be entertaining. So anyway, let's do the hop knowledge. We have Rowaka hops today. Also one I have not heard of. They're also known as D-Saz hops. They came from the same breeding program as Matueka from the Hop Research Center at Hort Research in Rowaka, New Zealand. So it's named after a place, which I was unaware of until now. 1997 marked a year of this hop's variety's release, and Rowaka has not exactly taken the world by storm. It's seen as a quality hop with some very good attributes, though. It's a cross between Czechoslovakian Saz and a New Zealand variety that is not named. Let me see what else it says. It has a high total oil concentration. Helps provide citrus notes and includes tones of grapefruit. So it sounds like one that I'd be interested in. I love those grapefruity notes in beers.
I feel like we've been having a lot of Australian continent references.
Yes. Yes, you are very correct with that. I'm trying to see if there's anything else. I think that's about it for all the most interesting stuff about this one. But there are some examples. Here's one. 666 Brewing Company made a beer called Roulette, which used this hop. As well as Emerson's Brewery used it in their May Day Stout.
Oh.
So there you have it.
You said Rowaka, and the first thing I thought of was it sounds like a Star Wars creature.
It does, actually. That's a very good point. Totally does.
I don't know if it's a very good point.
No, I think it is. I think it's a very good point. Actually, I think I just have a tendency to say that's a very good point instead of that's a good point. Or, you know what I mean? I think it's just like a something I do without knowing it.
It's like I was just listening to something and they were talking about how people say that's a good question, regardless if it's a good question or not, and it's just a stalling tactic so they can think of a good answer and butter up the person that's grilling them.
Yeah. So I had teased this episode a little bit. Well, particularly the warm up beer that we were going to have for this episode. I said it was going to be something very interesting, which is going to lead us to most likely a very interesting conversation. What I have here is a beer that one of my friends from Chicago sent to me. His name is Matt Harvey. So Matt Harvey, thank you very much. Who's a college friend. Believe it or not, this is a gold medal winning beer from the Great American Beer Festival in 2011.
Okay.
It's been some years, but it was a gold medal winner. It's by Right Brain Brewery, and I believe they are out of Chicago. Oh, no, actually, they're out of Traverse City, Michigan.
Okay.
So, founder's also from Michigan, so they're in good company. But this is their Mangalitsa Pig Porter. It is a porter brewed with real pig parts. Specifically, I will tell you, it is brewed with pig heads and bones.
I like pork. I think pig is my favorite edible animal.
Okay. Well, then maybe you will love this. I maybe it's like drinking a pig.
Oh.
I don't think that sounds good though. 6.6% alcohol on this, so
As soon as you said that, your wife gave us a big look. It was hilarious.
Yeah. But I mean, this is a gold medal GABF winner. I mean, it's got to be not terrible, right?
Yeah.
I don't know what category it was in.
It won in 2011. Is that something that mean they brew it every year now?
I think so, actually. Because there is something on it about how it actually became pretty popular. So, it's a porter, so it looks like a porter, as you could expect. Very, very dark brown and around the corner.
You can smell roastiness right off the bat.
Ooh, smell of salinity to it. It is kind of salty in there. Smoky, definitely smoky.
Yeah, a little. Oh, yeah.
Salty, smoky. There's a chocolatiness to it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, kind of chocolatey. A little soy sauce to go with that salinity.
Yeah, and maybe something like sourdough bread?
Oh, yeah. Actually, that's a great observation.
Oh, thank you.
I really do. I picked that up because, like, the breadiness from the malt to go with that kind of, like, salinity. Yeah, mm-hmm. Sourdough bread. I agree with you on that. I don't know how this is going to taste. No, I mean, it smells like a smoked porter to me, which I really do enjoy smoked porters. I have to be in the right mood, though.
I have limited experience, and the little I do, I did not enjoy. I had the stone smoked porter, which other people say is good, and I just hated it. So,
why don't you go ahead and sip that, because I just did.
There's almost
there's a creamy quality to it.
Yeah, there is a creamy quality. There's a slight bit of cherry.
I could see that. Yeah, I could. There's definitely that little bit of chocolatiness is coming through.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting some of that. I'm definitely getting the smoke, obviously. The smoke is very, very present in the beer. And there's that bit of salinity to it. Not as much as I thought I would get based on the nose, though.
Right. And it does have a creaminess to it, but it also, it's not thick-bodied.
Yeah, it's kind of like a medium light body.
Right,
especially for a porter.
Right, and it has it kind of has a, like, an effervescence to it that's pleasing.
I don't think there's anything wrong with this beer. It's kind of more, okay, when you think about porters and typically how, you know, thick they are and roasty, and you think about specifically porters with smoke in them, mm-hmm. and how, you know, present that smoke typically is, I feel like in comparison to that, this is quite sessionable as a porter.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I'm trying so hard to recognize pork or stock or anything.
Or the bones of the pig. They're head and bones, man. That's interesting.
You would think, okay, so, like skin, pork skin and pork, you'd think it would impart, since it doesn't say that it was, like, cured or smoked or salted or dry cured or anything like that, I wouldn't expect a smokiness or a saltiness from it, but I would expect kind of, like a certain amount of, like, fattiness. Or body to it?
Well, that's probably where the creamy quality's coming from, maybe. Is the fat aspect. You know, if the bones were put in with marrow still in there,
yeah,
that's where the creaminess easily could come from, because right. Marrow's very creamy.
And honestly, in this context, the fat might not be heavy. It could actually be light.
Yeah.
You know?
It's possible. Let me read you what they have on the bottle, because I think it's interesting. Who would have thought that what started as an inside joke amongst the Right Brain Brew team would evolve into our most acclaimed beer ever? Apparently, it's our most popular beer. Brewed with real Mangalitsa pig heads and bones, this rich and chocolatey porter is infused with a symphony of salty, smoky, and savory flavors.
Oh, salty.
Which we picked everything out. Some have hailed it as the quintessential bacon beer, while others call it a true breakfast brew. Regardless of what you call it, this imaginative and complex beer has to be tried to be understood.
Yeah.
And I think it's definitely, I don't think it's an instance, which happens, and I'm sure we'll talk about it a little bit more, I don't think it's an instance of just kitsch that is totally unfounded to be an actual beer. Like, it works. It's pretty solid.
I agree with you, and, you know, there is a subtle salinity to it, and if I'm right, I think that the fattiness does lend itself to the mouthfeel of it.
Yeah, that creamy quality, even though it is not thick.
Yeah, but it's light and creamy, like a whipped cream.
Yeah, definitely. And I think for me, that's probably the most remarkable thing about the beer is that creamy aspect added to the porter style.
Right. And I'll say one of the things I really enjoy about porters and stouts is the wide variety of mouthfeels. Like, it's like one of the things that I really enjoy about those styles of beers. Like, that is unique to those styles.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you think about an oatmeal stout versus an oyster stout, like totally different mouthfeels.
Yeah. Which, by the way, this beer was slated to be our warm-up beer because of the topic that I wanted to go along with it, which is basically crazy beers. You know, there are a lot of beers out there that people say are crazy, like, for example, Dogfish Head, just because they'll have ones that just have a lot of different ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
Such as, you know, I know you and I talked about their Ur-Continent beer, which has like one ingredient from each continent.
Right.
Some people would say that's crazy, but I'm talking about crazier. I'm talking about this one that people would kind of recoil when they hear about it, like Rebecca did. She was like, because it's, you know, pig head and bones, just the image when you're told that of them throwing a pig heads and pig bones into the vat of beer is a nice one.
And well, people get skeeved out about oyster stouts.
Yeah, yeah.
I think anytime you're introducing an animal into your beer. Right,
definitely. So I actually wanted to throw out, and then we can talk about it further just as a phenomena. I wanted to throw out, I found an article that had weird beers. It was by Paste Magazine.
Okay.
And one that they feature prominently was Wincoop Brewing Company's Rocky Mountain Oyster Stout. It's a take on the oyster stout, but it's actually Rocky Mountain oysters, which are bull testicles.
Bull testicles, yes.
So this is actually a stout done with bull testicles. So, never had it. Would I try it? Sure, I would try it. I wonder if it imparts that same creamy quality. It might.
Right.
Because there's a lot of fattiness in testicles.
Well, it would be a different kind of cream.
Yes. Yes, you are correct, yes. Another one that they had in here was Escorpión en Fuego, which is by, this is actually the name of the brewery, Unknown Brewing Company.
Oh,
Unknown. This was a beer, it's 10% ABV, it's an Imperial Mexican lager, and it is actually brewed with scorpions.
Well, it's funny that it's
legitimate scorpions.
It's funny that it's that it's Mexican, because those old school cheap ass mezcals that were famous for having the worm in it, you know what I'm talking about? That were famous.
Yeah, I've
for
seen
the
Poltergeist.
Worm. Yeah, we're famous for the worm. I mean, the mezcals have gotten much more classier in recent years.
Yeah, no worms anymore.
But yeah, worms. But now we're talking about scorpions in another Mexican brewery.
Interesting. Another one. I know you brought this up when we were talking about weird beers at the office. The Beard Beer by Rogue, where they took a yeast strain out of the beard of their head brewer and brewed with that.
Right. Well, the big takeaway from that is that guy needs to shower more often with soap.
Well, no, I mean, there's yeast is everywhere, honestly. You know, like, sometimes, like, what you can do to make a, quote, wild ale, you can just put your wort out and then just leave it open, expose it to the air, and then close it at some point, and whatever got in there is wild yeast that ferments it.
Yeah, like, what is that? Yeah, there's that big famous sour beer in Europe that's really famous for that. For, like, you know, they have like spiders and all that. They've been using the same facility for you know, a million years, and they got like spiders and like all the they refuse to move anywhere because they want to maintain like the wild yeast environment that they've always had.
Yeah. Another one on this list is actually Dogfish Head. Their Celeste Jewel Ale.
Okay.
Which was actually, they actually used dust from lunar meteorites. Like, legitimate dust from meteors. So, like, space dust. I mean, Elysian has a beer called Space Dust, but this Celeste Jewel Ale actually had space dust in it. I remember hearing about it when it came out, and I was like, I feel like it'd be cool to try it just for to say that, like, I put space dust in my body.
Or what would it give, like a mineraliness to it, maybe?
I would bet that you can't even perceive it.
Yeah.
Like, at all. It's just, that seems to me just like a gimmick thing. Then there's a brewery called Slippery Pig Brewery that did a pickle sour beer.
That might be decent.
Yes, with pickle. I don't know. I'm not sure I could do, I don't know. I'm not
sourness,
sure.
Sourness, brininess, saltiness.
I guess. I mean, and I say that, but I'm also the person who, when I first heard about oyster stouts, was like, ew, dude. You know, but then didn't understand the importance of, you know, like a chocolatey malt coming together with like a salty salinity, which then turned me on to the fact that like salted caramels and salted chocolate is like phenomenal.
Right.
And also, bacon and chocolate is phenomenal.
Right. Talking about oysters, you know, they're using the oyster shells. So we're talking about, you know, mineraliness, brininess, you know, an ocean quality to it. I really like oyster stouts.
Yeah. So, I mean, what's your overall take on these types of beers?
Well, my overall take is that they're going for the shock value.
Yes.
And they're it's definitely a way of standing out in the crowd.
That's true.
And you're attracting tickers and curios, and it works. It straight up works.
But I think, well, I would guess that a majority of the beers, it's like a one-time thing. You know, like it's a small batch run, and it brings people in because of the, you know, because it's crazy and weird, and people try it, and they're like, okay, tried it, done. But obviously, in the aspect of this Right Brain Mangalitsa Pig Porter, it's still being brewed because it turned out to be legitimately tasty. Now, so I would think that at this juncture, since people are still buying it, that they've kind of forgotten about the whole pig aspect.
Well, I would say that this is more the exception than the rule with these unusual ingredient beers, because this one happens to be an excellently crafted beer, and so like, hey, this is award-winning, people really like it, we're going to keep on bringing it back. You know, with some of these other beers, at the end of the day, if the beer is not good, they're only going to do it that one time because people's curiosity will be satisfied and no one will buy it again. Or with this one, people will buy it again because they know it's a quality beer. And actually, I think we were talking about the space dust. You know, we can't imagine it actually imparting that much to it. But we do.
We don't know what space tastes like.
On this pig porter, we do recognize that the fattiness and the saltiness is bringing something nice to it.
That's true.
It's not just novelty. There is actually a pleasant functionality to it.
That's very true. I agree with you on that. Yeah, and for me, I guess it's okay if you're able to actually like craft a good beer and it's got this kitsch factor to it. But if you're doing it just because it's kitsch and it tastes bad, then forget it. Like, you shouldn't do it then. I understand why, but in my opinion, I would like it not to be done just because it's a mockery.
No brewer is setting out to make a bad beer. The intentions are always to make a good beer.
But there are breweries out there that will make a beer, they know it's not good, but they release it anyway. Because it's actually been documented that there are situations where there are breweries that have beers, something goes wrong, it gets infected, and they know it, and they don't recall it. Or they don't say anything about it. They just kind of let it go.
Well, at that point, it's an economic decision.
Exactly. And that's why, you know, I'm just creating that counterpoint to say that, you know, yes, they don't intentionally set out to create bad beer, but sometimes if they do, they don't they don't take any steps to stop it from being consumed.
Well, sometimes, I mean, isn't the model where you just make a, like, a small batch or, like, a homebrew batch of your experiment, and when that turns out well, you then scale it up? Sometimes I feel like that's, they're skipping that first step. And they're like,
we're gonna start with the scale up and then go down.
Yeah, we're just gonna make the big batch of it and see what happens, and that's whether awesome. Or not it's good or not, we're selling it anyways without testing it.
Some I feel like some breweries do, they do that. I feel that way. I don't know, but I just wanted to talk about that a little bit, and it was a really good way for me to justify us trying that porter, which I'm glad we did because I like it.
It's good, and I will say we didn't talk about it specifically, but I love this label. It's
go ahead.
It's this hot pink label with black lettering. It's got this big picture of a fuzzy pig with a circle around it with lightning bolts coming out of it. It's a pretty kick-ass label.
I mean, that is definitely a way to be seen on a shelf.
Is Mangalitsa
I think it's a type of pig.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's like a, it's just like a species of pig.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, that's think cool. So. That's what I drew from the description on the bottle, is that it's a type of pig.
So, like, there's Berkshire pork, and then there's Mangalitsa pork.
Yeah, I suppose so. But yeah, I mean, good beer. So, Right Brain, you did a good job. I'm glad you tried it. And yeah. Like it said on there, it was a joke at first. So, it's, you know, I wonder how many other beers started that way. Where they just kind of joked around, they're like, oh, wouldn't it be funny if we did this with this? And then they were just like, well, let's just screw around and try it. And they were like, wait a minute, this is tasty. Hey, a lot of beers could have been done that way. We don't know. Yeah. And also I needed to say real quick to tack this on there. This mainly came about because my buddy sent me a text with a link to an article about a beer. It was on the BBC, on BBC.com. About Iceland, in Iceland there's a brewery that's making a whale testicle beer. So
all right, all this stuff with testicles, that part, the testicle aspect, novelty.
But it could be the same as like the pig head and bones. It could impart the same quality, like that creaminess
but
to
why,
it.
Right, okay, but even the pig head part, it's like there's nothing specific about the head that you couldn't just get from any other part of the pig, unless you're using, like, organ meat from the head.
But how often do people use the testicles for anything? So maybe it's cheaper and easier to get those testicles.
That is, okay.
I'm just saying.
No, that could potentially be valid.
Yeah, so I'm just, you know, maybe that's a way to get it. But then there's also that aspect of some people who are just adventurous.
My wife and I were talking about going to this big Asian market, but we only go there every once in a while because it's so far away for us.
Yeah.
But at this Asian market, it's so amazing. They have the weirdest ingredients, like just like
dried squid.
No, like duck lips and lamb vaginas, and just like, what is happening here? Who is buying and cooking with this stuff?
Well, if you ever start home brewing, you should go there for all your crazy ingredients. And you make your first, like, lamb vagina porter.
Oh, I was...
Call it lamb lips.
I was just gonna do a stir fry, but okay, that's fine.
Okay. Stir fried lamb vaginas. I don't know. It could be good.
I'm not buying... Well, I'll tell you. It's not the Koreans buying it. It's the other people.
Dan is Korean. Not directly. Indirectly.
Well, my parents are Korean, so yes, directly.
Well, yeah. You know what I mean.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Okay, well, that was an interesting conversation. Let's get into the mystery beers. Pretty different in the coloration. A looks like a Pilsner. Like, it looks like a Pilsner, basically. It's very clear, it's very yellow. Like, super yellow.
Yeah, like straw yellow.
Yep. And B is significantly darker. It's very red. It looks like a red ale, basically. It is filtered. There's no sediment or anything in it, but you can't fully see through it because of the coloration being on the darker side. So there you have the coloration differences between A and B. I am interested in smelling A here. Ooh, I get like lemony hoppy notes.
Yeah, lemon orange.
Yeah. Ooh.
And even some...
That's real lemony to me. But it smells like weedy, pilsnery.
Yeah.
Man, there's a lot of, like, lemon in there.
Maybe this could be, like, a Hefeweizen? Something like that?
I don't know. I don't think so. Well, there is a little bit of a banana note to it, though.
A little bit. And also, slight. There's, like, a slight, like a white wine note, maybe?
Like the white wine, like white wine grape type? Yes. You're right. Sorry. Yeah, like banana, lemon. I can see that white wine aspect.
Yeah, this could be...
It smells very crisp. It's very, like, refreshing smelling.
Yeah, I'm very much looking forward to tasting this because, I mean, I'm really interested in finding out what it tastes like. But there's more in here.
It's a very interesting bouquet, in my opinion. It's lemon immediately. Like, your very first sniff, it's, like, obviously lemon. Because lemon's so, like, acidic, that you're obviously going to pick that up. And then once your nose gets used to it, you start picking up these extra qualities. It smells good. It smells weedy.
Hmm. Oh, this is, like,
It's a little tart.
Yeah, it's tart. It's, like, a very light saison, maybe.
The tartness to it almost gives it an apple-y quality. Like a legitimate, like, fresh apple flavor. Not like a acetaldehyde type, you know, defect apple quality, but like a, you know, fresh apple quality.
It almost, you know what, I'm going to take back that saison comment. Maybe it's more like a Rattler or something like that.
It tastes weedy to me. Doesn't it taste like wheat? It tastes like a wheat beer with some lemony hop notes.
I will admit, when people say they taste wheat, I don't know what they're talking about. Like I'm sure we're tasting the same things, but I just don't know what they're picking up.
When I say it's just like wheat beers, like the kind of yeast that you get with the wheat beers, that's what I refer to.
Yeah, the lemon flavor is definitely predominant, and then you're right, you do get kind of
like a wheaty yeast.
I get
a little bit of banana flavor.
A wheat ale or a Hefeweizen, that might not be too far off the mark. This is
it's very refreshing.
Yeah, very refreshing. I could definitely see myself drinking this on a porch in the summer.
Yeah, but it's got even more flavor than you would expect it to, just by the look of it. I mean, coloration wise, don't judge a book by its color, but it looks like it could be like Coors Light or something.
Yeah,
significantly more flavor to it, though.
Yeah, well, there is. It has a little bit of haze in it, so you would know it wasn't one of those beers. But
I feel like I'm gonna get close to finishing my portion because I just keep hitting it because it's so refreshing and it's sessionable for that reason. It's just, like you said, you know, on like a summer day, just like sitting on the porch, you could just...
But you're right about that banana note. You're right about that banana note.
It's there.
It's there. It's not overpowering at all, but it lets you know it's there.
To me, it's like lemon, apple, then banana note. Mm-hmm. That's the order, and then the wheaty finished.
Oh, I would put the wheatiness of it higher than fourth. I would call wheatiness like the second thing you notice.
Not for me, because I get the I definitely get the lemon immediately, then the apple, then the banana, then the wheat. That is how I get it. Okay, good beer, pretty nice beer.
Yeah,
I'm down with it. All right, so B, this is the much darker one. I'm going to go ahead and start swirling this sucker. And ooh, there's a tropicality in the nose.
Oh, wow.
It's, I'm actually getting a bit of a peach scent in the nose.
Yeah, I would agree
with
that.
It's very peachy.
Yeah, it's a little floral also.
Yeah, flowers and peaches and... It's got to be nicely hopped here. Ooh.
Yeah, it almost tastes like...
smells like.
You know... Sorry. It almost smells
you're
like...
You're getting ahead of yourself.
Those peach gummies that are covered in sugar.
Yeah, the little wheels.
Yeah, they look like little circles.
It does smell like that because it has that kind of like sugary sweetness on the nose as well. Yeah,
and there's also like a tartness to it also, the smell also.
Yeah, there's so much peach in there though. Oh my gosh. A little bit of a grassy quality too to go with the floral notes.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. But then there's also a decent amount of malt in there, which I think is where that sweetness is coming from, like the sugar coating on that little peach candy.
I'm honestly very surprised because the smell and the look do not match. I thought this would be much...
Both these beers. That's the theme. That's the theme here. Maybe that's why Rebecca chose these.
Yeah, I think I should stop looking at beers and just, when I smell them, just close my eyes and smell them because it throws me off sometimes.
Taste that beer and tell me what you're tasting. I already jumped to that part.
Well, it's much lighter than I expected.
Yeah, it's... Based on some of the smells, I was expecting it to be a little thicker. It is a little less thick than I expected, but I am getting those kind of peachy notes. Yeah. A little more subdued than I expected.
Yeah, you're getting a peachy nose note and... there is a maltiness. It's not heavy, yeah, but it's there.
It's giving it a little bit of kind of like a little burnt note to it in the finish.
And the aftertaste, I'm not loving the aftertaste. It has kind of a sour aftertaste that I don't like.
I think it's the sweetness of that malt. I think it's like, you know, when things are like really sweet to the point where they're kind of sour. I think it's like the sweetness and the bitterness of the malt coming together. And that's what you're getting. That's why it's kind of sourish to you.
Yeah,
because that's how I'm perceiving it.
It just kind of like stays on my soft palate, the back top of my mouth. And I don't really enjoy the aftertaste, but that peachiness it's
nice.
I swear it smells better than it tastes. I can just keep on smelling this and not drink it at all. That's
I just went back to A. I like A.
I do too.
I think B's not bad. I like A though. I think A's definitely gonna be my winner in this episode.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
But neither of them are bad at all. Huh. Yeah. Okay. Gotta figure this one out. This is tough. One of the things for me, too, about A is it's not a type of beer that usually makes me all that surprised.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm usually not, like, tasting that type of beer and just, like, being that light and being like, oh, man, really like this. This is really mm-hmm. nice. So I'm pretty surprised by that. B, the nose was so good.
The nose was excellent. Honestly, I felt like the beer got worse when I drank it. If I could just have the smell experience by itself, I think that's the best experience of this beer.
Yeah.
Because it just smells like $1 million with that peach candy thing that we were talking about, yeah, with the floral notes.
Yeah. And with B, the malt just keeps building. It keeps building, and it that's building the bitterness.
Well, for me, the biggest detractor on B is that sour aftertaste that I was talking about. And not sour as in tart, like sour as in an unpleasant sourness that's not associated with fruit.
Which A actually has a bit of a sour aftertaste, but that's because of nice things like that kind of apple note and the lemon note.
Right.
So it's interesting because they both have kind of a sourish finish, but in different ways.
Yeah,
and one is pleasing and one is not.
Yeah, the good pleasing. The good and bad side of the same sour coin.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, I had such high hopes for B because the smell was so nice. But yeah, that flavor, at first I was like, okay, it's not what I was expecting. It's a little less than I wanted. And then I kept drinking it and I'm like, okay, the malt's really building a lot more now and taking everything over. Okay, it's starting to taste very bitter now. So I think it's kind of gotten to a point where this beer really devolves as you continue to drink it.
Oh, yeah. It's a journey, Carlin. Not a journey you really want to go on, but it's a journey.
It's kind of a crappy journey. I don't like it. I don't like this journey. Can I get off?
Should have stayed where I started.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's how you feel with that beer.
So do you know where we're going on either one of these?
Okay. I am going with a 2 on B.
I'm 100% with you on that.
You're going 2 as well. Okay. That's the easy one for me. I'm between two numbers for A, though.
Yeah, I'm... Well, do you want to go first? I don't care.
You can go ahead. I don't care.
Okay, so I think I'm going to go with a 4. Okay. There's a part of me that kind of wants to go higher.
Yeah.
And
that's where I was. I'm like between 4 and 5.
Right.
Because 5, although I feel like 5's a little too much.
No, I think 5's too... If we were going to go with smaller increments, I would give us like a 4.25.
Yeah.
But I guess we'll just go with a 4 then.
Yeah, I agree. We did the same on this. 4's for A and 2's for B. So overall, 4 for A, it's the winner. And overall, 2 for B is the loser. No big surprise there.
We're like one mind, Carlin.
Yes, we are melding. It's because of that pig porter.
Right.
Plus, that's what happens when you imbibe pig heads. You have the same pig mind.
Right. Also, we did that Vulcan mind lock thing.
Yes, so. We did do that. And docking. We did docking.
Yes.
So B, the beer that is the loser of this episode with an overall of 2 is Beast Mode by 6 Point Brewing. This is a porter, dude.
What?
Beast Mode is a porter.
What?
That is nothing like a porter. No, that's not. No.
You know, now that I remember hearing Rebecca
crack a can
open, right? And I remember being excited about it, and then I forgot about it. But this is that brewery that has their cans in kind of like the energy drink proportions.
Yes, yeah, they're like thin, tall cans. But this is Beast Mode. It's a porter. It's 6.4% alcohol, 44 IBUs. But they say it's an ale on here. But here's the thing. One thing I noticed, they would never classify their beers for the longest time. But I had purchased actually a six-pack of the Beast Mode because they're having a contest with it on Untappd, where if you take a picture with the can and your pet and you put it on Untappd, then they're going to like give prizes for like the best pictures. Uh-huh. So someone I knew was looking for it and couldn't get it where they were. I'm like, okay, I'll look out for it and I'll get it for you. So I did that, and it said on the six-pack, Porter. Like, in big letters, it said Porter, which they had not done for a long time. They had refused to say a style for their beers because their idea was it's about the flavors in the beer. It's not about identifying any sort of style. So it was interesting to me because I don't know if they started putting a style on there because it would help sales or what. I would assume that's what it is, but...
Yeah.
I don't know. But this does not taste anything like a damn porter.
No, it definitely doesn't taste like a porter.
I think they should go back to not putting styles on their beers.
Well, it's funny, though, how when something is introduced into your head, it affects the way how you experience something. And yeah. I look at the can, I think energy drink, and I taste the drink, and I swear there's a little bit of Red Bull in there now. Like, it's just funny.
Yeah. They actually... listed ingredients on here like hops and malt,
right?
And one of them is Beast because it's Beast Mode Porter.
Oh,
I don't think that's all that clever, but you know,
maybe Marshawn
did there.
Maybe Marshawn Lynch spit in the wart. I don't know.
Could have. All right. Well, A, the winner of the episode with an overall 4 is. Sophie.
Yes.
Oh my God! It's Sophie. by Goose Island. I previously had said I didn't really like this beer, but hey, I guess I'm wrong now.
You didn't like Sophie? What's wrong with you?
It was years ago when I had it, and I just didn't like it then. It's a Belgian-style farmhouse ale. Tart, dry, sparkling ale with spicy white pepper notes. A hint of orange peel and a creamy vanilla finish. Well, we did not pick up on that. But and
I do know
this
that...
This is a nice beer.
No, I've always liked Sophie.
Well, my mind has just been changed. I had typically thought I don't like Sophie, but I guess I do like Sophie.
Well, this is me patting my own back, but I remember saying something about white wine, and I know that Sophie is partially aged in white wine barrels.
Well, there you go. Then you totally,
yeah, and
you totally picked that out.
And you said it was a Belgian, and you were saying about banana notes, and it's a Belgian.
Yeah, I did. I think together we pull everything out that we should.
Maybe not the white peppercorn part.
Yeah, we didn't get that.
Also, Sophie's done with orange. I know too much about this beer, but Sophie's also done with orange peel.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, so I just educated myself. And that's one of the things I really like about doing this show is I'll have a preconceived notion about a beer. Like, I like this beer or I don't like this beer. But then I have it mm-hmm. for the mystery beers. And I'm wrong. And yeah. It just kind of makes me be like, oh, okay, well, maybe I'll go out and get this beer now. Like, I would, before I probably would have passed on Sophie. Now, I wouldn't.
And it's just funny what being blind tasting does to you because, you know, if you had told me there was Sophie and then I drank it, I would be like, yes, this is Sophie. But without that reference point, I didn't even think of Sophie at all. And I've drank Sophie many times.
Well, and the interesting thing is at that point, then you're free to experience it as a beer, not as a brand. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're experiencing beer, like, for me, it happens with, like, Nugget Nectar, you know, an Imperial Amber, like, very hoppy amber ale. I think because it is special to me, because that was the beer that got me into highly hopped beers,
mm-hmm.
when I drink it, it is Nugget Nectar. It is not a hoppy Imperial Amber.
Right.
It is the brand. It is not just the beer. And right. I think when we're doing this... These are just the beers. They're not their brands.
Right. So. You no longer taste it. It's just something that you remember experiencing, but you're not actually tasting the individual ingredients anymore.
Yeah, exactly. So, wow, eye-opening episode for a few reasons. I mean, the fact that Beast Mode tastes nothing like a porter and it's supposed to be a porter. The fact that I thought I really did not like Sophie, but I do like it. And the fact that this pig porter... is quite good, and these pig parts add a nice creaminess to it.
Yeah, this was a good episode for drinking beer.
Yeah. Well, we're going to continue on. We actually have one more with Dan Kim here before he ends up having a child. Not him, personally.
Yeah, I'm not his Arnold wife. Schwarzenegger or a seahorse.
That's true, because that's what happens with seahorses. The men carry the babies. That would suck. That's why I'm glad I wasn't born a woman, because being pregnant, I don't know how you could do it. Being pregnant and then having the baby, like, the labor.
Well...
I can't even fathom.
I guess I'd rather be a human woman than a male seahorse. I will say that.
Okay, I could see that. Because at least we get to drink beer if we're not seahorses.
Yes.
And on that note, thank you for listening.
Is the main reason not to be a seahorse.
Yes. Thank you so much, and please
keep it brutal.
This has been a Nerd Circle podcast production.